Congratulations, you made it to the end of the Virtual Instructional Leadership Challenge. I thought in this last section, what we would do is talk about a type of improvement that doesn't get enough credit for the impact that it has on student learning. And that is what you might think of as addition by subtraction. And we'll call this your stop doing list. This has been a year when educators are so overwhelmed that there's been a lot of pressure to stop doing anything that doesn't fit, anything that doesn't matter, anything that doesn't seem like it's worth the time and effort. And what I want to do in this section is encourage you to review what we've talked about, to review the models that you've learned for understanding practice and how teacher practice has changed in the pandemic, and identify things that at least for now need to go. Because one of the most direct paths to improvement is to stop doing things that aren't contributing to the results we want. And in the last section, we talked about aligning the shortcuts that we take, about realizing that we never have time to do everything. We always have to kind of cut here and there and skim through this section or that section and stay on pace. And we're going to make the best decisions together if we align the shortcuts that we're going to take. And a particular way that you can do that, especially in a pandemic, especially in a virtual learning context, is to implement something that is known as the Pareto Principle, which we talk about in our bonus module, Preventing Teacher Burnout. So there's a more in-depth section on this concept there. But just briefly, the Pareto Principle is the age-old idea that 80% of our results come from only 20% of our efforts. And the other 80% of our efforts produce only 20% of our results. So this is a way of saying that a lot of what we do, a lot of what we spend our time on doesn't produce results. And right now, this is a season when we need to be honest with ourselves and ruthless in eliminating work that does not produce results for our students. You know, things that have been piled on over the years that maybe made sense once, that might make sense again next year, but right now they just don't fit. We really need to prioritize getting rid of anything that is not a top priority, that doesn't produce those results. There's an idea from the organizational decision-making literature from the pioneering researcher Herbert Simon called satisficing. I love this idea of satisficing. Think of it as the opposite of perfectionism, right? Nobody is holding themselves to perfectionist standards this year. We don't have time. It's not going to get us the results we want. And satisficing is a direct way of valuing that impulse to avoid perfectionism. So satisfice is a portmanteau. It means, satisfy the criteria, do what needs to be done, accomplish the goal, but don't overshoot, don't overdo it, don't be a perfectionist. Just do what will suffice to satisfy the goal. That's what satisficing is. And we need to tell teachers directly, good enough is good enough. Do not be a perfectionist about this. Do not stay up all night formatting your document or, just getting every little thing right. We need to focus on the big rocks in order to focus on student learning. And when we do that, when we focus on the big rocks, everything else that's not a big rock, to use Stephen Covey's term, can be dropped, right? We can let go of a lot of the things that are taking up people's time and bandwidth. And we've got to give people permission to stop doing those things. Because teachers by temperament often are just so conscientious, they want to do everything, they want to check off every box and satisfy every requirement and make sure that nothing gets left undone, we really have to give people permission to stop doing things that no longer matter. So I want to encourage you to adopt this as your kind of mindset throughout the rest of the school year, to be vigilant in looking for things that can be eliminated. If people are stressing out over something, ask yourself, does that really need to happen, or can we let it go? Can we say that what we're doing is good enough? We do not need to put a bow on it, to put the icing on the cake. Satisficing says good enough is good enough. And we need to actually invite teachers to tell us, hey, if I've asked you to do something and you find that it's taking up a lot of time and it's not contributing to student learning, tell me. I want to know. I want that feedback, and I will give you permission, if it's at all possible, I will give you permission to stop doing it. We want to give people permission to speak up and make their own workload more manageable. We also need to search for efficiencies that we can achieve. If we have duplicated effort, if we have the same planning work being done by every team, you know, every first grade team in every elementary school, or every science department in every middle school, if they're all working in parallel and not sharing the workload that it has created this year to be teaching in a pandemic, well, that's an opportunity to create some efficiencies. If we're requiring paperwork for the sake of paperwork, if we're asking people to turn in lesson plans and other plans, you know, all this paperwork that we typically require, this is a good time to suspend that. Maybe we bring it back, maybe we don't, but we've got to free up people's time. Because the reality is that the less people have to do, the better they will be able to do what's left. That's that Pareto principle in operation. If we pare down what we ask people to do to just the bare essentials, they're going to have more time to do it well. And I would much rather have people do fewer things better than try to cram in all the stuff that we normally do in a typical school year, because this is not a typical school year. So again, you have reached the end, and I want to share our final journal questions with you for your reflection. First of all, what are teachers currently spending too much time on? What are the complaints? What are the, you know, the, maybe you're not getting complaints. Maybe people are, you know, cheerfully doing what they're supposed to do, but it's hard for them. Get that feedback and then ask yourself, how can I bring that up with each team or department? How can I get that feedback on what needs to go, what needs to be cut, or what needs to be put on the back burner? So this is it. You've made it to the end of the Virtual Instructional Leadership Challenge. If I could leave you with one particular action item, it would be this: talk with your teachers. Get into classrooms if you can, and if you can't, pick up the phone and call them and keep track of those visits. You have the note card template for keeping track of your visits and phone calls, and you can alternate purposes, right? If you're able to get into classrooms some of the time, but perhaps you have a teacher who's quarantined and you're not able to visit their classroom right now because they're home for 14 days, pick up the phone and call them and keep that same rotation, because there is nothing more important than the relationship that you have and the communication that you have with teachers as an instructional leader. Thanks so much for being part of the Virtual Instructional Leadership Challenge. I'm Justin Bader, and please reach out anytime if I can be of assistance. And please let me know what you do with this program. What impacts are you seeing? What insights are you gaining from this work with your teachers? I would love to hear from you. You can email me anytime at justin@principalcenter.com.